In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On May 10th of 1869, the Transcontinental Railroad was completed that connected the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean. It was a monumental event. It was a monumental event in our nation because it bridged a great divide. As the two governors drove the special silver spikes into the last tie, the crowd cheered as a telegram message was sent out saying, "It is finished." That was what that moment looked like. And it indeed was a monumental accomplishment. But there was a much greater accomplishment centuries earlier when iron spikes were driven into the hands and feet of our Savior Jesus. They were driven into his flesh while heaven, earth, and all of hell looked on. When the last spike was driven, a loud shout went up to all of creation. The monumental news flashed and echoed to the ends of the earth. The way of salvation from earth to heaven had been completed. At that monumental moment of completion, Jesus cried, "It is finished." But what really occurred at that crucifixion? What did Jesus go through to connect earth and heaven for us on that monumental day? Well, the four Gospels don't give us many details. They all say in three words, simply, as we just heard, they crucified him. But everyone hearing those words knew exactly what crucifixion meant. Death by crucifixion was a horrific torture. Crucifixion actually began in Persia. The Persians believed the earth was sacred. So criminals were lifted above the earth so they would not defile the ground. The practice of crucifixion passed on to other nations. And the Romans used it, but they only used it for rebels, runaways, slaves, and criminals. But it was never done in Rome or ever on a Roman citizen. It was indeed the most terrible way to die at that time. In Jerusalem, crucifixions were done outside the city in Golgotha. Its nickname was the place of the skull, and in Latin called Calvary. The cruel procedure was always the same. The judge issued the death sentence, and that day the crucifixion would occur. No waiting, no death row, nothing like today. Four Roman soldiers would come immediately, whip the condemned man. They then walked to Golgotha so everyone could see and take warning of what was going on. The criminal carried his own crossbeam. The soldier held up a sign with the criminal offense that was written upon it, and it was later nailed to the cross. And at Golgotha, the cross was laid flat, shaped like the letter T, and the prisoner stretched out upon it with his arms stretched out, and they were nailed to the cross in his hands. The cross was raised up, and the criminal left to slowly die an excruciating death. Roman law said that the criminal was to hang unto death, and that could take hours, it could take days. Law said the body was not to be buried, but be thrown in a pit and was consumed by wild animals. But Jewish law was different. And it said the body could not stay on the cross all night, that burial must be completed before sundown. So if a man was still alive, his legs would be broken, so he couldn't prop himself up to breathe. And then that criminal would quickly die of asphyxiation. It was a cruel and brutal ending. As they hung on the cross, dying on the cross, the crowd cried out, "Jesus, if you're God, come down from the cross and we will believe in you." Friends, it's because he did not come down from the cross that we believe in him as Christians. His death was absolutely necessary. Jesus came to earth to model and reveal the love of God for us. He was the embodied love of God in the flesh, in fact. He had come down from the cross. It would have said that God's love was limited. There was something God's love couldn't take or give or deliver for us. But Jesus was, as we know, went all the way. He showed us that there are no limits to God's love. There's nothing, not even death on the cross, that God would not suffer for you and for me. Jesus suffered and died for our sins to take away the sting of death. Paul later would write about this in 1 Corinthians 15, that death, he said, where is your sting today? A boy and his father were once riding in a car when a bee flew into the window. And the boy was extremely allergic to bee stings. He and his father both knew that the son's life was in grave danger. As the boy frantically jumped about, trying to avoid the bee, the father calmly reached out and grabbed the bee in his hand. When he opened his hand, the bee flew off, and the boy once again was terrified. The father smiled and held his open hand to his son and said, "Look, the bee's stinger is in my hand. He can't sting you anymore." As he said that, the boy realized that his father had saved him. The bee had lost its power to sting. Friends, in the very same way, death lost its sting for us when it stung Jesus. Good Friday is about nothing but love. And Good Friday is also about sin. But it's about God's love saving us from our sin that would separate and divide us from Him for eternity. I want to leave you today with this illustration. Years ago, an orphan boy lived with his grandmother. One cold winter night, their old farmhouse caught on fire. The grandmother died trying to rescue the boy who was asleep upstairs. A large crowd gathered around the burning house, and the boy cried from the upstairs, but no one knew what to do or how to get to him. Soon the entire farmhouse was engulfed in flames. Then suddenly, a stranger rushed from the crowd. He had found a long piece of iron pipe that was laying in the barn that reached up to the second window floor. Hand over hand, he climbed the pipe and then disappeared through the upstairs window. Moments later, he reappeared with the child in his arms. The crowd cheered as he climbed down the hot pipe with the boy hanging around his neck. Many weeks later, a town meeting was held to find custody for this orphan child. Each person wanting the boy told briefly what they had to offer him. The first man said, "Well, I own a large farm, and every boy needs the great outdoors. I'd provide a wonderful home for him." The second man was a teacher, educated man. He said, "I can provide a great education that will open many doors for him." Some other people spoke, and then the richest man in their community said, "Well, I'm wealthy. I can provide the boy everything mentioned and much more." The mayor then asked, "Would anyone else like to say a word or make an offer in this?" And from the back, a stranger came forward with deep suffering on his face. The man stood directly in front of the little boy gazing down at the ground. And then slowly, this stranger took his hands out of his pockets. The crowd gasped when they saw his hands. Then the little boy, at their terror, looked up and saw the man's hands were terribly covered in scars. And suddenly the boy's eyes opened up and he recognized the man. It was the man who had saved his life. His hands were scarred from climbing up and down that hot pipe. The little boy, for the second time in his life, leaped up and put his arms around the stranger's neck. The farmer, the teacher, and the wealthy man simply got up and walked away. Everyone left. The young boy was alone with his scarred Savior. Friends, a stranger never said a word. His scarred hand spoke louder than any words could ever utter. Today, many things compete for our attention in this world today. Money, education, possessions, fame, pleasure, just to name a few. We're constantly tempted to run after those things and forget everything else. But tonight, on this Good Friday, we are all reminded that someone has eternal claim upon our very lives. And he claimed us long ago by raising his hands, his nail-pierced hands. And they speak more powerfully than 10,000 sermons ever could. Jesus, our Savior, my friend, suffered crucifixion because he loves you. And he loves each one of us to the point of dying for us, the most brutal death that could possibly have been given at the time. 2,024 years ago on the cross, our sins rested on his shoulders. And at his last breath, he proclaimed our victory. Our way to salvation was complete. The great divide between earth and heaven had been bridged. Because the cross is a bridge from earth to heaven, the triumph of God's mercy over human sin. Jesus' final words said it all that night, on this night, when he said it was finished. And that, my friends, is what makes this Good Friday. The world may not understand that, because most of the world does not know Jesus. But we do. So we walk today on this day, not with our heads down, but with our heads held high for the price that was paid for our souls that bridged the gap between this sinful world and the heaven that we will inhabit forever with our Savior and all those who have gone before us. And to that, all we can do is give praise and thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.